Just when we thought we were out, he pulls us back in. Donald Trump's second impeachment trial proceeding this week, even if the result seems all but certain. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. We're going to talk about this, unfortunately. It's the biggest story of the week. Donald Trump's impeachment case has officially kicked off in the Senate and is currently proceeding as we speak. Ed, what's going on?
Well, if you've been watching it, Donald Trump's new lawyers, it looks like he went so deep into the barrel, he got frogs. We're not able to mount a decent opening set of arguments. And since the Democrats had so long to prepare and only two basic issues and a lot of film, they made a super Hollywood production. Now, Hollywood productions are sometimes make-believe. But this one was true. And so in the first day, the Democrats won. If I were the Democrats, I'd quit. Because the Republicans, the more they talk, the more they give the Democrats ammunition. When I was a football player, we used to say, if the other team's making mistakes, don't stop them. So I think that's where we are now. The question now is, how many days can the American public absorb this? I think three. Like our show, 20 minutes is it.
The attention span being what it is.
It is. That's what it is. It is for us. It is for everybody.
Well, it's good to see your football coach used to read his Sun Tzu. That's an excellent indication. Like Jamie Raskin, the Democratic rep, he had an interesting one to say. A bit of an unwieldy metaphor. This case is much worse than someone who falsely cries fire in a crowded theater. Went on to compare Trump to a fire chief who sends in a mob to actually set the theater on fire, then does nothing but watch with glee and delight.
In the hope that his fire truck will be protected.
Yeah. It's a key takeaway to me, I think. What's been claimed behind the scenes is not only that Trump incited the violence we saw at the Capitol, but took delight in what was happening and did obviously nothing to stop things once they had kicked off.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and today's presentation showed that. As a matter of fact, there's some film showing him watching with glee and not taking any actions with people around him begging him to stop it. When he saw they were clearly going to lose, he stopped it. But what did he say? Please go home. Basically, we didn't win this time, darn it.
We should also mention Trump's call to the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, where he asked the official to find more votes, exactly the number of votes needed, to flip the state red. Georgia prosecutors are now opening a criminal case into that as well. Any thoughts?
Well, a couple thoughts here. The most important thought is the evidence, again, is on tape. The other thing is the Georgia Attorney General, is that a person who's suitable to take this case on? This is a man who had actually been involved in Stop the Steal. So it might be better to ask for a special prosecutor and someone who has not been involved politically, or to go to the city of Atlanta, I mean the county of Fulton, city of Atlanta, and ask the attorney for the city to prosecute that case, because the city has exactly the same law with pretty much the same penalties. They might even try both because it's pretty hard to bypass an attorney general that takes some extra steps. But this is a slam dunk.
And before we move off these issues, reports also this week that Donald Trump has funneled re-election campaign funds and donations by supporters to continue the election fight into private businesses. That was my reaction exactly, Ed.
I don't believe it. That's a crime.
We've seen 2.8 million of donor money into the Trump Organization, including 81,000 since he lost the election. And I'm pretty sure that website, you know, the Stop the Steal, had that in the fine print, that this was pretty much exactly what he was going to do in the first place.
No, it said something about support political campaigns.
Yeah.
But your daily living expenses, your golf course, your eating, drinking, and sleeping is not part of that. Look, this guy is a scam artist. And that's all he knows how to do, to take whatever scam is available. What is he going to do when that $2.7 billion suit comes after him? He's probably declared 15 different bankruptcy approaches to that, but that's coming next.
In actual policy news, Democrats have been clashing over possible changes to the income eligibility cap for the $1,400 stimulus checks. It would cut payments off to anybody over $50,000, earning over $50,000 in a Republican proposed plan. Any thoughts?
Well, this one hurts to the quick because I would be a recipient. I think it was a $2,000 promise to the people who got the $600. Don't change it. You make a change, you lose voters, you don't gain anything. You keep it as it is, you at least keep those voters. Keep your promises, baby.
And while we're on this, the $15 minimum wage debate. We touched on this the other week when we had Dana and Steph with us as well, but minimum wage, or wages in general in the United States, have in no way kept pace with inflation. The current minimum wage, $7.25 an hour. There's a reason so many Americans are living in poverty. Where is the difficulty in this fight, Ed?
Well, the reason that Biden thought he might take it off the table, because he's using resolution, budget resolution. This isn't a budget issue because there is no budget to it. The budget is the money that comes in or not into the Treasury, or in unemployment, or not into unemployment. So money is not being sent out of the federal coffers to meet this obligation. This is an obligation that goes directly to the person who has to pay the bill. Interestingly enough, the American manufacturers, the food handlers, have been quiet on this one. We'll talk later, I hope, about the Romney proposal that would do almost the same thing. So it looks like the Republicans are going to give them a pass on this. And the reason I think they're doing it, they can say it crippled small businesses. But if it lowers poverty, the people who spend this money spend it the instant they have it. So it might have just the opposite effect, as Janet Yellen says. The Democrats in the House, the left caucus, has successfully got that to stay in the bill. Now it goes over to the Senate, and it'll be up to the senators, with Bernie leading the charge, to keep it on that side. It only takes one defection, as you know. Could be Manchin that would prevent that from happening. We'll see what happens. Manchin's getting a lot of pressure from his own governor. So we'll see what happens. I think there's going to be a lot of smoke here, but I think it'll get through.
And you mentioned, of course, the Romney plan there. Well, I do want to touch on this one. Democrats have also unveiled this plan that could see a lot of American families with children eligible to receive monthly payments of $250 to $300 to offset the costs of raising a family. Now, Mitt Romney, Republican senator, wants to be even more generous with his Family Security Act, with payments of $250 to $350. What's going on?
Well, remember, Mitt Romney is from Utah, a Mormon state, where they encourage children.
Big families, yeah.
Big families. They also discourage receiving benefits. So since this would be a transfer payment, like Social Security, it would not be a benefit. The way Romney wants to do this, and I favor this, is to cut out all other child support benefits, but excluding Obamacare and health care benefits. Then it's just a check. The big issue is, and this is a clean way of doing it, how do you get the checks to the people? Right now, most of the people who would receive these checks don't even have a bank account. And many of them have not filed for federal income tax. So you'd have to have a way of getting it to them. I think they should phase it in, because you don't want this money going to the check cashiers. Because if it went to the check cashiers, it'd be one step away from the donut shop, you know, to the gambling parlor or whatever. I think they should say you must file an income tax form, even if it's zero, proof of who you are, including citizenship. Once you do that, you're entitled to the benefit.
Those debates we just mentioned there are kind of underlying a key concern for the Biden administration as it finds its feet. Go big or go bipartisan. Republicans claim they're being ignored as Biden kind of rules through executive order and pushes through on these big policies. What do you make of that kind of complaint coming from the Republican side?
I can't use these words on the air. Big or get out. Big promises are made. These big promises have to be kept. Another aspect of this is Biden has at least met with Republicans. Did Trump ever do that? Once. Biden has offered the Republicans ways in, around, and through this. I think the Romney situation is an excellent one, because here we have competing bills to do the same thing, and concessions can be made. This hasn't happened since Richard Nixon. The Republicans having a bill to do something for the American people? Wow. I'll have to get a Romney pen.
Iran and the deal we saw installed under Barack Obama, then torn up by Trump, Biden doesn't seem to be in a hurry to reimpose. He's refusing to lift sanctions, getting Iran to the table with this lift of sanctions, saying that they instead must stop enriching uranium before a new deal can be struck. Any thoughts?
Well, first of all, that was the condition before the first deal was struck. You must stop enriching uranium, or we will not do this deal at all. So Biden's only going back to the Obama-era deal. That deal will be made. Iran's in trouble, not just for the usual economic hardships, but COVID is really ravaging the country. And it's hitting the middle class. So they need to get fresh supplies. How are they going to get any vaccines without making a deal? So I think there'll be pressure internally to stop this uranium nonsense and make a deal. It'll be a win-win.
Julian Assange, we saw a big push toward the end of the Trump presidency to pardon the WikiLeaks founder, or failing that, to get the Biden administration, sort of get in their ear early, to cease extradition from the UK to face charges around conspiracy and the like. The Biden administration, however, continues to seek to extradite Assange, contrary to a British judge's ruling last month that Assange should not be extradited because he is considered a suicide risk. What do you make of it, Ed?
Well, I think Biden has difficulty here, because this actually started, beginning of the Trump administration, and the leaks there in conjunction with the Russians. This unravels a number of other court cases that are built on this WikiLeaks information in the Trump trials. So they're trying to dance around this. I believe the best thing to happen would be for extradition to be granted and Biden then grants a reprieve, basically saying never step in the United States again.
This is a complicated one. Obviously, more to come on this one, I think, this case. And just finally this week, the Super Bowl went ahead in spite of the COVID pandemic, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning handily over the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, I'm sure it was a thrilling game. I can't say how much.
It was a terrible game. And being a referee of American gridiron football, I can say that with some degree of straightforwardness. Brady again. Now, my hope in that game was neither one of those teams would be in it, because the Chiefs were in last year and Brady's been in forever, in and out.
I can't believe he is still playing. That it just astonishes me.
He is an astonishing man, like a great actor or a great radio commentator like yourself. He really hones his craft. One day, and it must have been more than 20 years ago, I think he was just in his first years with the Patriots. I was going through Marin County and I saw this guy throwing a football, and I discovered his throwing coach lives in Marin County a little bit later, but I knew it was Tom Brady. I stayed there for close to an hour and he was still going when I left. This is a man like LeBron, who owns his craft because he stays on top of it. All you young people out there listening, get your craft, stay on top of it, because it'll make you.
And I'm not much of a sports fan, so I don't necessarily understand a lot of the ins and outs of American football, but look, I am a politics fan. And when it comes to Tom Brady, there's talk now, you know, when he ends his career, his football career, that he might himself be interested in entering in to the political arena. He's kind of gone back and forth on this one in the past. And look, it's worth pointing out, he's a staunch Republican, and he was a friend, although he didn't campaign for Trump, he refused to campaign for Trump, he was a good friend of Donald Trump prior to 2016. Any thoughts that this might be the Republican secret weapon?
No, I don't know if it's a secret weapon or not, but I'd love to see him enter politics. I think he would be a staunch conservative. He'd be like Mitt Romney. He wouldn't take any nonsense. He certainly has a conscience. He's played with mostly African-American players. I have never heard one of them say anything but great things about him. So I would welcome him to politics. I think he'd be another Romney. The Republicans couldn't count on him.
I think if it's that star power, we'll go with Reagan instead of Trump.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, Ed, thanks very much, mate. We'll catch you again next week.
Yes. And we'll certainly have the answer to the puzzle by then.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.